Paul has provided for us and for the Colossians numerous exhortations throughout this letter. We were challenged at the outset of Paul's letter to increase our knowledge, increase our understanding of God and His ways. We've been challenged by Paul to change, to begin the process, to continue the process of conforming our lives to match the life of Christ. We've been urged to root out sinful actions and sinful attitudes, ways that belong to our former existence before we knew Christ. Paul has challenged us recently in the letter to honor Christ as a spouse, honor Christ as a parent, to honor Christ as a child, to honor Christ as an employee and as an employer. And now we come to the end of Paul's letter and we see that he offers instruction that neatly ties together everything he has previously said. Paul begins his conclusion with the words, "Devote yourselves to prayer." Devote yourselves to prayer. And as I consider all that's expected of me, that I grow in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I make advances in Christ's likeness, that I successfully root out the sin in my life, that I honor God as a husband, a father, and a minister. And when I consider that beyond my personal relationship with Christ, that there is a mission that Christ has in this world that He calls me to be a part of. When I consider all of this, I find that I feel massively inadequate. Massively inadequate for the task and requirements at hand. Paul has given you and he has given me a massive to-do list, and I'm not sure how we're going to get through it. But before Paul leaves us, he provides us with the key to getting it all done. Devote yourselves to prayer. In other words, I can't be who I ought to be. I can't do what I ought to do without help. I think it's intended for us to be overwhelmed by the requirements of God. I think it's His design to show us a standard that's so high that we admit and confess that we can't do it on our own. That we need assistance. That our own strength is insufficient. Our clever ideas aren't enough. Our calculated decisions, our sincere efforts, they may bring us some progress, but these things are incapable of giving us sustained advances in Christ-likeness. These things are incapable of giving us sustained advances with the gospel. Would you like to be like Jesus Christ? Would you like your attitudes, your words, and your actions, would you like every part of you to be like Christ? It's possible. But not by our own strength. And wouldn't it be nice as a congregation to be marked as being Christ-like? There are so many things we want to be known as. We want to be known as friendly. We want to be known as warm, hospitable, Bible-believing. There's so many ways we could describe what we want to be as individuals and as a congregation. But aren't we saying at the end of the day we want to be Christ-like? We want to be Christ's body. We want to do things that He would do if He were physically here on this earth. And I hear Paul saying that to do this, we need help. We need the Spirit of Christ to lead the way. We need the Spirit of Christ to animate our efforts. And the way in which we tap into the Spirit's power, the way in which the Spirit of Christ works through us, is through prayer. In chapter 4, verse 2, Paul gives us a threefold or three-pronged rhythm to our prayer. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. To put it simply, ask God for what you need. Watch for God to answer you, and thank God when He does. But let's look at that first part of the rhythm, that there's a persistent pleading in our prayer life. Paul doesn't simply say, pray. He doesn't say, pray when the opportunity arises. He doesn't simply say, pray when your circumstances demand it. He says, be devoted. Devote yourselves to prayer. Make it your habit. Make it your custom to plead with God. So our prayer life is not something that we dip into and dip out of. I don't think Paul would be satisfied to hear that we pray before every meal, or that we have 10 minutes at the beginning and end of every day for prayer. I hear Paul asking for so much more from followers of Christ, that because the power of Christ is unlocked by prayer, he says, be persistent in it, be devoted to it. Have you ever thought about why you wouldn't be devoted to prayer? Because I've thought about this, because there are seasons in my life where I would admit that I'm not devoted to prayer as I see Paul laying it out here. So I ask the question, why wouldn't I be? Why wouldn't you be devoted to prayer? Why wouldn't it be your custom to wrestle with God every hour of the day? Well, I found myself particularly convicted by a quote I read by E.M. Bounds. The little estimate we put on prayer is evident from the little time we give it. The little estimate we put on prayer is evident from the little time we give it. In other words, the reason we don't pray very much is because we don't expect our prayers to actually change things. That we don't expect our current reality, our current landscape, to be altered. So we don't pray. And the idea is, in Bounds' quote, that we would pray a lot more, that we would be persistent in prayer if we were convinced that our prayers would change reality. I must admit that this difference-making capacity of prayer is not often enough on my mind. I don't think enough about what prayer can accomplish. Sometimes I pray because I ought to. I know it's good. I know it's the right thing to do. I know God requires it. Sometimes I pray because I ought to. Sometimes I pray because I need to. That I feel like I get hungry in my soul, and so I need to pray. Sometimes I pray because I want to. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to converse with Him. I love my Heavenly Father. I love the Holy Spirit. And so there are times when I simply want to pray. But rarely, I'm afraid, do I pray because I have confidence that God will change things. Rarely, I'm so ashamed to admit, do I believe in my prayer that God's going to radically reverse a situation. Does that resonate with any of you here today? Do you pray as someone who expects to see change because of the words that you're uttering to heaven? Because if you struggle with this, as I sometimes do, then Paul's instruction, the second and third prongs, are critical. That we're not simply pleading with God in prayer, but we're watchful and we're thankful. And the reason I think we need to be watchful is because the Lord does not always answer us in the manner in which we would expect Him to. And so what I've found in previous experience is that I missed God answering my prayer because I had expected Him to do so in a particular way. And so if we're not watchful, if we're not alert, we run the risk of missing what God is doing in response to your prayers. I don't know if you ever imagine yourself in heaven and some of the conversations you might have with God, some of the things He might tell you, some of the things you might tell Him. One of the things that I think about is I imagine myself in heaven and I imagine God rolling out all the things that happened in my life and in the lives of others because of my prayers. I don't know that this is what will happen, so this is purely Bryn McPhail fiction here. But I imagine God showing me what it is that was changed, what it is that was accomplished by me bowing before Him in genuine humility and sincerity and asking Him for some things. And I imagine that as God shows me all that my prayers accomplished, that I lament not praying more. That if we knew what our prayers were doing, if we knew what our prayers were changing, we would give more time to it. So I urge you with Paul, be watchful. Be alert. Be on guard to see what God is doing in response to your prayers. The third prong is gratitude. It's a critical piece to our prayer life, and I'm not simply talking about good form or etiquette. As the parent of a 7-year-old, I'm always urging Anya, say thank you. It's good form, it's good etiquette, it's proper. But when the Bible calls for gratitude, it's calling for something far greater than good form or good etiquette. Gratitude causes our mind to go backwards and to think about that which we have just received. And the idea here, I think, is as we remember what God has done for us in the past, as we pray thankfully for what He's already done, it inspires in us a confidence in future provision. The reason we're confident or expectant of God's blessing just ahead down the road is because we've tracked with Him along the way. Or as the famous hymn goes, 'tis grace that's brought us safe thus far. And it's grace that will lead us home. And the reason we believe grace will lead us home is because we looked backwards and saw that it was grace that got us to our current position. Plead with God in prayer. Ask Him for things you need. Watch in your time of prayer. Watch in the days that follow. Be alert to His movements as He adjusts circumstances in your life. Give thanks to Him. Be grateful as you pray to Him. Think about the mercies and blessings He has poured out to you over the course of your life. Ask, watch, and give thanks. Paul gives us the how. This is how we give ourselves to prayer. But what sort of things should we be praying for? What sort of things should we be wrestling with God for? Well, more than one person suggested to me last Sunday that I pray for Team Canada to win a particular hockey game. A few people. And they looked at me with all seriousness, and I need to admit, I thought about it. But I didn't do it. I didn't pray for Team Canada, and didn't matter anyway. The better team won. Apology to any Americans among us. Is it okay to pray for a parking spot at Sherway Gardens? Because in the middle of November, we're tempted to. Is it okay to pray for my sore wrist or my sore knee or my sore back or the medical tests I have this week? Is it okay to pray for those things? Is it okay for me to pray that God would give me a promotion, pray that God would give me a pay raise? Is it okay to ask God for these things? Well, let me just say that no issue is too small to bring before God in prayer. If the issue is important to you, if the issue affects how you interact with God and how you interact with other people, then bring that thing to prayer. Don't be ashamed to pray for whatever it is that has your attention. Now, at the same time, I also want us to note Paul's prayer requests. I want us to note the sort of things that he prayed for. And I want us to remember the sort of things that Jesus prayed for. And I note how frequently their prayers focused on God's kingdom. I notice how often and how the emphasis for them was prayer that was centered on God's eternal purposes, and that their personal situation always seemed to go to the back burner. If you want an example of this, we move on in the passage, Colossians 4, verse 3. Paul says, pray for us too. So Paul's asking for prayer just as we might ask someone else to pray for us. And we say, what, Paul? What should we pray for? Should we pray that you don't have to undergo any further affliction? Paul, should we pray that the prison door swings open and that you're able to go free? Paul, should we pray that you're able to get enough to eat, enough to nourish yourself? Paul answers, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Now, from what I gather reading history of the first century, being in a Roman prison would have been no picnic for Paul. And yet his chief concern is not that suffering would be removed, but Paul's chief concern is to gain additional opportunities to proclaim Jesus Christ. Pastor author John Piper offers us an explanation for why we're frustrated in prayer. Piper offers an explanation by way of an analogy for why we don't get our prayers answered in the way we would like them to. In Piper's analogy, he likens what we're about here as a church to a military mission. Christ is our field commander, and he has given us a personal transmitter that is coded to the frequency of the general's headquarters. And thanks to the work of Christ, our field commander, the general is as close to us as our personal transmitter. However, the reason that we're so frustrated in our prayer life, the reason we're frustrated with the answers, is because many of us have taken our wartime walkie-talkie, and instead of using it to move the mission forward, we've taken prayer, our wartime walkie-talkie, and we've tried to turn it into a civilian intercom. Instead of focusing our prayers on the mission of Christ, we've tried to use prayer to provide ourselves with a more comfortable life. Now, I'm not prepared this morning to say, don't pray for this or don't pray for that. Again, I don't want to be known for what we're against, so I'm not going to tell you what to not pray for. But I am compelled that the primary purpose of prayer is to help you and I advance the mission of Christ. That the primary reason prayer exists is to help us to enter into the process whereby Christ redeems this world. And part of the mission is the gospel message, the good news going out into this world. And the other part of the mission relates to what the gospel does. And what the gospel does to a person has been the burden of Paul's letter. The gospel of Christ changes people. The gospel of Christ transforms people into the likeness of Christ. It takes people out of darkness and places them in the light. God desires lives that are inclined to Him, that are centered around Him, that are oriented towards His purposes. The great end for humanity is that we would chiefly give ourselves to God, that we would seek to be and eventually become Christ-like. And God doesn't simply want Bryn McPhail to be Christ-like. He doesn't simply want those of you gathered here today to be Christ-like. He wants your coworker to be Christ-like. He wants your neighbor to be Christ-like. He wants members of your household to be Christ-like. The mission is huge. It's global. And it would be impossible unless we devote ourselves to prayer. Wrestle with God. Wrestle with God over the souls of men and women. Wrestle with God, asking Him to change people into the likeness of Christ. Watch for God's movement and give thanks for His faithfulness. Amen.